prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and it is Wednesday, 7 February 2024. Welcome to today's program. We're so glad you're with us. In a minute, we're going to go talk to our guest to have on every Wednesday. We're going to talk to Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs, and she's going to share some news today that you may want to pay attention to. It's not necessarily good news, and you're going to want to hear this. Before we do that, though, always go through the metals and the markets. So we're going to do that right away. Gold took a little hit today, down $2 to $20.34.40. Silver down 20 cents to $22.26. Boy, now's a good time to buy silver. Platinum was down 23 to $8.72. Palladium was down 51 to $8.78. So metals were all down today. Gold and silver slightly. The Dow was up 178 to 38.697. NASDAQ was up 155 to 15,765. S&P was up 42 to 4,997. FTSE was down 0.35% to 19,104. DAX was down 0.65% to 16,921. Nikkei was also down 0.11% to 36,119. Hang Seng was also down 0.34% to 16,081. USDX was also down 0.15% to 104.06. 10-year yield was up 0.018 to 4.11%. And oil was up 0.74 to 74.05. So there you go. U.S. markets all up. Eastern markets down. Oil up. 10-year yield up. And metals down. So there we go. Again, we're going to bring our guest up now that's always with us on Wednesday. Well, almost always, except when she forgets us. But anyway, bring up Wendy Wilson, who's always has a topic that's so important. Today is nothing different on that. So, Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. I thought we'd talk about our superbugs today. Science is kind of stepping back from trying to come up with solutions for our drug-resistant bacterias. So they seem to be almost surrendering with a white flag with regard to this battle we have now with drug-resistant superbug bacteria. This is research in January 2024 from the York University in Toronto, Canada. They say science has accepted that bacteria will mutate, resist antibiotics, and it's just part of the evolutionary process mankind must accept. Well, it doesn't really change the fact, though, that the world has a really tough challenge with dealing with these drug-resistant pathogens, you know, which brings us to this global safety lab. I don't know if you've heard about this, Pastor Butch, but the job of this lab is to find a radical shift to try to tackle the superbug issue. They call it their socio-economical challenge, a war on superbugs that can't be won. That's how they look at it. So they are looking at ways maybe for us all to live with the problem. Here's a quote from the Toronto Report. They said, for the past 100 years, we've tried to address antimicrobial resistant like a medical problem, but we haven't really made much progress in actually mitigating the deeper drivers of this issue. So basically, the message, the takeaway is we've made our bed, let's lie in it. This, according to the research, our real problem on the superbug stems from several things. One, bacteria, viruses, and fungus tendency is to evolve. Number two, the acceleration of the process through human interventions where we overused and were over-reliant on antibiotics. Number three, the routine use of antibiotics in the livestock industry has driven this problem. So Canada goes on to say global data from 2019 showed more than a million deaths a year directly related to antimicrobial resistance. So wow. I did read some research, though, from Europe. This is what they were doing. To help out, they discontinued massive use of antibiotics in their livestock industry, and they saw a gradual decline in bacterial infections in their animals and in humans. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
But, you know, they're saying it's an urgent threat. It's an urgent threat. So while one side of science is given up on the war against deadly bacteria, the other side is sounding an alarm. Mankind is under a serious and urgent threat. So in 2023, the Global Strategy Lab set up a policy accelerator, and it was funded with $8.7 million in grant money from the Wellcome Trust to try to address the mutating bacteria issue. And the researchers stated that technology combined with antimicrobial drugs is still not the answer to this problem. Isaac Weldon, he's a researcher at York University, says what we're currently doing is treating symptoms only and not the cause of mutating bacteria. Using only technology and drug therapy, science would need to operate at an unsustainable speed to keep up with mutating microbes since they are evolving faster than drug development. Minimizing drug resistance is the best we can hope for. Well, that's not good.
No, it's not.
No. And, you know, nobody's saying, you know, antibiotics haven't saved lives. They have. But the misuse of antibiotics has created this problem. This is the University of Leeds in England, the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and the University of Hamburg in Germany. This was from the 2023 June issue of the Lancet Infectious Disease, and this is what they said. In 2017, the World Health Organization declared antimicrobial resistance one of the top 10 public health threats facing humanity and called for national action plans to tackle this threat. More than 100 countries responded with policy plans that are inadequate in monitoring the evaluation of this problem. Simply developing a national action plan may not necessarily mean a country is more prepared to respond to this threat. Yeah, well, okay, we got a policy, you know, big deal. I mean, currently we are told there's like 4.95 million deaths every year globally from these type of pathogens, and science is cautioning that tens of millions will die if solutions are not created to replace the drugs we have now that no longer work. So 6 years have passed since the WHO got their global plan solution together, and nothing adequate has materialized. So don't hold your breath. But they're saying the stakes are high. They're saying the stakes are high. The lack of cooperation within drug companies and policy seems to produce a major snag in addressing the issue. And the problem is most likely centered around money. Here is Kazim Attell. He's a researcher of infectious disease and epidemiology at London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He said, antimicrobial resistance is a wicked problem. a conflicting set of priorities exist among the intricate web of stakeholders. Well, I guess people aren't in agreement, I suppose. Aside from the drug companies and politicians who are kind of part of the stakeholders, here's the list of the rest of the stakeholders. Try to get all these people organized and on the same plan. Clinicians, called physicians, pharmacists, microbiology labs, medical schools and teaching hospitals, clinics and hospitals, veterinarian sector, animal husbandry sector, government pharmaceutical management agencies, drug monitoring surveillance sector, procurement, storage, and distribution businesses, research and academia, regulation and safety, external partners, public health programs, patients or consumers, financial sectors, various civil society organizations, and of course the media and the advertising sector. So when you make a big change to step away from antibiotics for bacterial infections, it affects all these people.
Oh, yes.
See, so Chasm goes on to say, we don't have a human-centered perspective among decision makers and governments for better health. I agree with that. I do. So they want this global governance to kick in, but nobody's on the same sheet of music, if you know what I mean. So getting the world to cooperate is the challenge with all the moving parts involved, and it's a massive endeavor. The Ministry of Health and in cooperation with Gonda React Project and the WHO office in Gonda, they issued a report in 2013 on how the world should fix this problem. The React Project suggested a, quote, rational use committee. That's what we need, Pastor Butch, is another committee, you know?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Oh, yeah. And this rational use committee should be formed and people appointed to it to manage the interest and the power of the stakeholders. They want to appoint the very same health professionals that prescribe these drugs, which create the problem in the first place. So we already have the following committees in place. We have the Drug and Therapeutics Committee, the Infectious Prevention and Control Committee, the Clinical Microbiology Lab Committee, the Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee, the Healthcare and Epidemiological Committee. I think we got it covered, basically. We don't need another committee. But Gonda Reaction Project said, stakeholders play an important role in the agenda setting stage, the technical collaborations, as well as the consensus building stages for the policy process. And they must be managed and considered in their interests and in their power. They go on to say, we emphasize the importance of strong governance and anti-corruption for better health context. Right, anti-corruption. Uh-huh. Well, they're talking about the money and the power, and then the same breath they're saying we're against corruption here. Okay. So the European Pharmaceutical Review also got a report in January 2021 that the annual revenue of global antibiotics alone was more than $47 million. And they projected the revenue would be $58.8 million by 2027. So these projections, Pastor Butch, do not include antiviral or antifungal drug sales. Therefore, whatever committee oversees the global management of such drugs will be heavily influenced by money. So the nature of man is to be corrupt, and $58 million can buy a whole lot of influence. So the U.S. antibiotic market alone is projected to bring in $20 million in drug sales by 2027. That's just the United States. So that is a lot of money stakeholders would kiss goodbye for the sake of sustainable world health, and they're not going to do that. So I don't see how them doing that. So they will form committees. They'll go to meetings, they'll report to Congress, they'll talk about global management goals, but nothing is going to change. 10 years have passed from the first published reports on the global consensus on this problem with no progress to implement. What do you think, Pastor Butch?
I don't have much confidence in them at all, tell you the truth.
I know. So it's a dog and pony show because you're talking about money here and they're trying to look like they're doing something. Now, here's an example. I once worked for a neurology clinic, Pastor Butch, and after they added two new physicians to the practice, there was a need for extra office staff. And after doctor hospital rounds in the morning, the office did get busy in the afternoon with all the patient appointments. So doctors were entering the clinic to see their patients. I was taking patients back to exam rooms, and the phone was ringing off the hook. The head physician came in the back door and asked me, "Who's answering the phone?" And I walked up the hall with him to the front office, and the manager, also known as the doctor's wife, was sitting at her desk but not answering the phone. And the doctor asked his wife, "Well, why aren't you picking up the phone since I was taking patients back? And this was her response. "We have an ad in the paper for a receptionist."
You told them last week, and I mean, that's what an ignorant statement. Like, what's that going to fix? Right at the time.
Well, exactly. That's the committee. That's like the committee response. We're going to form a committee that's going to manage this thing. Right. Okay. So similar to there was this problem with the drug-resistant bacteria, and we're going to see if we can form a committee. Policymakers, drug manufacturers, and other stakeholders can then actually deflect a lot of questions if there's a committee in place, Pastor Butch. It's under advisement. So instead of the white flag, the stakeholders have hoisted the pirate skull and crossbone flag, and this ship has sailed and may never dock again. I'm not kidding. It's a committee. There's a committee overseeing this. You know, if they're asked about this in the public's, forum, well, you got to go ask the committee members. They're in charge of it.
You know, you have to be a little bit on the mentally insane to think you can trust these people for good morning.
I could have said it better. I'm not kidding. So people really, they're pushing us to really highly consider alternatives if we haven't already. And the persistent problem is bacteria, fungus, and viruses can mutate and become resistant to drug therapy. But most of the drugs are simple in function and often are not a match for the complexity of a lot of these pathogens. So the human immune system, though, is very complex. And when you support it with nutrition, it's very able to defend you against pathogens. So the immune system has this ability to adapt antibodies for mutated pathogens, making it less likely to fail at killing that infection. So we should ask, what are we doing to support and assist our own immune system and avoid anything that would suppress or just dismantle our immunity, like aspirin, Tylenol, and vaccinations? Yes. So there are also a lot of medicinal herbs out there God supplied us to support the immune system function that are very much antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. And one popular one everybody's familiar with, it's called garlic. There have been hundreds of scientific studies on garlic where they're trying to figure out how broad spectrum this plant is at defending against those infections so they can make a drug out of it, but they can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. One of God's little secrets, I suppose,
Yeah, and so, and he's got to be laughing at our delusion, as the Bible says.
Yeah.
The answer's in front of them, but they won't accept it.
And yeah, well, they can't patent it, see. But the thing once they start dissecting garlic to try to patent something, it works totally different when you do that. See, you just undermine God's copyright right there on garlic, and it's just not going to work as well. So garlic is excellent. You got echinacea and other immune support herbs. You've got tons of options. And your drug-resistant bacteria isn't immune to your own immune system. It's not resistant to it. But if you got a really weak immune system, you got to ask yourself, what's in the lifestyle that may be derailing it. So it could be something we're doing. Your herbs actually will bring your immune system up to normal function if it's low. That's what I love about them. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is amazing that what God created us with works so well. We're about out of time. You go ahead and give us your information, please.
Sure. They can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. Get a free catalog, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address. And we're having a heart-healthy sale going on through the 17th, and it's 25% off. So they can call for details.
That's a good deal. Well, Wendy Wilson, thank you one more time.
866-229-3663. Take care, Pastor Butch. Bye-bye.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Folks, bear at the break. A lot more to talk about, and we will be joined by Melody Cederstrom. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. Well, I'm coming for your love, okay?
All righty, folks, we are back in. It's a Financial Survival, and this is Pastor Butch Paul, joined now with Melody Cederstrom, the owner and operator and boss of Financial Survival and Discount Gold and Silver. And by the way, to call her, 800-375-4188. She'd be happy to talk to you about anything as far as what she can help you with. And believe me, she'll be the most honest person you ever talked to about what you need to do with what finances you have. Melody, I'm glad you joined us. Welcome.
Well, thank you. You know, I always like being here. Well, I should.
Well, I appreciate
been doing
that.
It for a long time. You know.
It's getting to be a habit, isn't it?
And it is. It is.
You know, after doing radio all these years.
It's a good habit to have.
It is. And I know it is. I think I've been on radio almost 31 years. 31 years next month. And I'm thinking if I do go off, it's going to leave a big void after all these years.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
That's a lot of talking.
But you'll fill it up with something else.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know why
yet. You might
be
surprised. You might be surprised.
Might go fishing. You never know.
Oh, that would be fun.
So what do you want to start out with? I got a lot of news here, but I know you probably want to
add a few
things.
For the first time in two decades, the U.S. buys more from Mexico than China.
Yep, I saw that.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
We buy their people.
Oh my!
Right?
Yeah, we do.
I'm talking
they ship
about
them across
the
border. We pay for them. Okay, yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, we pay for them. Yeah, we sure do. But with the global supply chains during the pandemic and the cost of shipping a container to China soared nearly 20-fold. They say in 2021, Mr. Villarreal resigned as Caterpillar's director general in Mexico and began nurturing ties with companies looking to shift manufacturing from China to Mexico. He can't move them into the United States, can he?
No.
No, wouldn't do that. Oh, unless, of course, they bring the illegal aliens over here and then build the factories here so they have jobs and, you know, they'll bring jobs back that way, but none for the American people that are here already. Oh, it's just so bizarre. Just so bizarre. But
it really is. And Biden says we can't build manufacturing here because it's too hard on the environment. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But yet he gives billions of dollars to these multinational corporations.
That's
to
right.
To supposedly build manufacturing plants, but they all they take the money and then they all put them on hold. You know,
it's amazing.
But people don't remember that. They don't know. They never follow through. People just hear, oh, they're building plants. You know, oh, in 10 years. Okay. You know what, Butch? It really is a joke anymore. It really is. It's a sad joke, but it's still a joke. It's.
Well, it really is. It's sad that the American people don't catch on to that after a while. I mean, I can see them being fooled for a season. It's been going on now for, what, 3-4 decades now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has been.
You know what? There was a report this morning about how there's so many of our pharmaceuticals are in short supply. But when they were doing that report, do you think even once that they mentioned that 85% of our pharmaceuticals come from China? No. They blame it on the pandemic. They blame it on this, they blame it on that, but they really don't blame what I believe is the root cause, China, controlling what comes into this country. So if you think that there's shortages for any other reason, I'd be looking at that as the number one reason. But hey, you know, does it matter, Butch?
It doesn't seem to, does it?
No.
Doesn't seem to.
So that one, go ahead.
Go ahead. It's all right.
No, I was just going to say that one kind of got my goat today.
Well, it should. But you see, we people have short memories, and we can think back in the times when you're not quite old enough yet, when we were youngins, when things were made here. I mean, our cars, our furniture, our electronics are all made in this country, and you used to buy a refrigerator the last 20 years. Now they last 3 years if you're blessed with it, but they were made that way on purpose. And they're electronic; you can't fix them, so you got to buy another new unit.
Yeah.
But back, you know, I grew up. You bought a Frigidaire refrigerator or a Westinghouse. You can expect service out of thing for 15, 20 years or longer.
Yep,
that's all changed. And there were no very, very few imported cars. If they were, they were just like little Hondas with four wheels. They just blizzed up the road. Yeah. Exactly. No, they just weren't popular. And now not only do they have many, many foreign brands, which are excellent automobiles, all of ours are made overseas now, too, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We put the
mm-hmm.
parts together. So that's the whole difference in the country today.
Yep.
We truly become a nation of consumers, no longer manufacturers. We are consumers.
Bye.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Janet Yellen, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, she said on Tuesday, yesterday, that she is concerned about looming commercial real estate stresses on banks and property owners. Now, she's concerned, but hey, the situation, it's manageable. With assistance from bank regulators, of course. I mean, do these people even know? I mean, of course there's a big deal. There's trillions of dollars of commercial real estate that's really ready to go belly up. And but they're already looking to the banks to make sure that there's no issues. And I'm so happy that it is manageable, Butch.
Oh, yeah, me too, of course.
That takes the worry. Yeah.
I mean, that's why the economy is running so good. They're taking care of all the problems. The inflation's low and everything. Yeah.
Amazon, they're going to cut hundreds of jobs across its healthcare units.
Yep.
So there's another bunch there. And Chapter 11 bankruptcy filings increased 22%. But it's all manageable. That's going to be the new word for 2024. Manageable. It's manageable, Butch.
Yeah, right, right. Oh, so, my goodness.
I know.
We got a lot of different topics here today, too.
Hertz, let me just say one more.
You go right ahead. You go right ahead.
Hertz, they're looking to lay off. And I guess that's about it. Go ahead. I know you got a lot to talk about today.
All those thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs being laid off. But last month we put, 300-some thousand? I forget, to work? So, gee.
It's manageable.
It is manageable. We're doing just fine.
We're doing just fine.
Gee. But anyway, I want to start off with something that I think is very interesting and maybe kind of important in the sense that we know that Tucker Carlson interviewed Putin. When I say good for him, great job. But anyway, EU politicians threatened to sanction Tucker Carlson for interviewing Vladimir Putin. I don't want to. I'm not going to sanction the individual, but they want sanctioning. European Union lawmakers have called for Brussels to impose sanctions on American journalist Tucker Carlson for interviewing Russian President Vladimir Putin. Despite the long-suffering tradition of American journalists interviewing direct dictators of all stripes, including the leader of the Soviet Union during the height of the Cold War, top bureaucrat Guy Verhofstadt has called for Tucker Carlson to face EU sanctions for sitting down with the Russian strongman. Former Belgian Prime Minister and strong Brexit opponent, who currently serves in the European Parliament, told Newsweek, as Putin is a war criminal and the EU sanctions all who assist him in the effort, it seems logical that the External Action Service examine his case as well. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. They want to sanction Tucker Carlson for doing his job. Now, in defense of Tucker Carlson, Carlson explains why he's interviewing Putin. Most Americans are not informed. We're here because we love the U.S. Now, this is a partial of the interview, folks, but it's the comment Tucker said. And I agree with Tucker Carlson. We are not informed. Americans probably are kept in the dark more than any people in the world.
Except China.
Well, maybe China, yeah. And I'd have, it'd be a toss-up there, maybe. But anyway.
But no, Butch, we have access to it. We have the Internet, but people are too lazy to go and find the truth.
That's right. If it's not on ABC News or CNN.
Coming from certain programs and whatnot, then, you know. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. As the left freaks out about Tucker Carlson's upcoming interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin, the former Fox News host, who can now be found at TuckerCarlson.com, has published a pre-interview explainer over why he's interviewing Putin, which boils down to an uncurious Western media, which has resulted in a grossly uninformed public. Here's why we're doing it. First, because it's our job. We're in journalism. Our duty is to inform people. 2 years ago, 2 years into a war that's reshaping the entire world, most Americans are not informed. They have no real idea what's happening in the region, here in Russia or 600 miles away in Ukraine. But they should know. They're paying for much of it in ways they might not fully yet perceive. The war in Ukraine is a human disaster. It's left hundreds of thousands of people dead, an entire generation of young Ukrainians, and has depopulated the largest country in Europe. But the long-term effects are even more profound. Carlson notes that Ukraine was as utterly reshaped the global military and trade alliances and upended the world economy. He also hits on the dire state of the post-World War III Bretton Woods economic order, noting that it's coming apart very fast, along with the dominance of the U.S. dollar. Carlson notes that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been the beneficiary of softball curated Western interviews, which he calls prep sessions. That is not journalism. It's government propaganda, said Carlson. He's right on that. At the same time, our politicians and media outlets have been doing this, promoting a foreign leader like he's a new consumer ban. Not a single Western journalist had bothered to interview the president of the other country involved in this conflict, Vladimir Putin. Most Americans have no idea why Putin invaded Ukraine or what his goals are now. They never heard his voice. That's wrong. Americans have a right to know all they can about the war they're implicated in, and we have the right to tell them about it because we are Americans too. Tucker previously relayed a story about trying to set up with a Putin interview until a Washington, D.C. source briefed him about how NSA spied on him. Now, folks, listen to this. The NSA broke into my Signal account, which I didn't know they could do, he previously said. I got a call from somebody in Washington. This person said, are you going to come to Washington anytime soon? Yeah, actually, I'm going to be up in a week. Meet me Sunday morning. So I go, and this person's like, are you planning a trip to go see Putin? And I was like, how would you know that? I haven't told anybody. I mean, no, anybody, not my brother, not my wife, nobody. How would you know that? Because the NSA pulled your text with this other person you are texting. Carson says he's doing the interview because we love the United States and we want it to remain prosperous and free. So the NSA was spying on all along and knew about before anybody else did that he was going to interview Putin. But we have been totally blinded to one side of this whole story as a whole. As you said, the information is there, but who's going to take time to go look for it? It takes time. You have to get off the telephone, or at least get off the phone by texting back and forth and going to all the other sites, and maybe search some news out. If I can find the ability, if it's sent to me, I know anybody else can find it also. And things are not looking good in Europe. I mean, we know we have nations like Germany, Britain, Switzerland, telling people to prepare to go to war. They're telling them that. I do know that we have sent Ukraine F-16s, which they cannot repair. They don't have the means how to fix those things. Those are very...
Can't even fly them.
No. They're very high-tech, and they're very... they're under great stress when they are flying because of what they're made to do. And Russia has already told us that if we fly those planes into a NATO base to fix them, that base will be open for bombing because we're repairing their enemy's planes. Now, that's the way it is, folks. I'm not making this up. I'm really not. As a matter of fact, if I can find it very quickly, I'll share one more thing that, I'll get into the war later on. We'll get to war in a minute because there's a lot to cover on that. But it is really shaped up to be something very, very serious.
Well, you know, I think that other person that he would, this is just my opinion, folks. I'm just talking here. We're not creating any conspiracy theories. But I wonder if that other person that he was talking to was actually Trump. And it's Trump's conversations that they're following. I can't imagine why they, you know, followed Tucker, you know, and what would, you know. But who he was communicating with to get the interview with Putin. And I would have to think it was Trump because, you know, Trump and Tucker are pretty tight.
Oh, yeah. And so, this next one, different topic.
And, and one more thing I was reading today, yes. And we forget. The media... You know, there's for years and years and years, we all knew it was all CIA-controlled media on both sides. Both sides. Not just one side, both sides.
To find a whole news in this country, I mean, both sides, from both sides of whatever the news may be, is almost impossible. Almost impossible. If I were Nikki Haley, I think I'd be embarrassed. Nikki Haley lost a GOP primary to none of these candidates. Now, I'll read to what that means. Nikki Haley has failed to win the Nevada primary despite being no other Republican candidates on the ticket. Haley came in second place to none of these candidates, losing by 22,000 votes. Overall, she received less than a third of the votes. The race was called at 9 p.m. Pacific time, with over 60% voting for no one. 60% voted for no one. For some inexplicable reason, 2,705 people voted for Mike Pence. Donald Trump joked that Haley would soon be claiming victory. Haley's campaign at this point is a joke, yet she still refused to drop out of the race. Candidates were given the option to participate in either the primary or a caucus scheduled to take place on Thursday. Trump chose to run in the caucus, where the allocation of the state's delegates will take place. The AP reports that Bruce Parks, the chair of the Washoe County Republican Party, advised voters to actively engage in the primary by choosing none of these candidates over Haley. Haley's campaign issued a statement declaring, "We have not spent a dime nor an ounce of energy on Nevada. We made the decision early on that we were not going to pay $55,000 to a Trump entity to participate in the process that is rigged for Trump. If your goal was to win in the Republican nomination for president, you go where the delegates are. And it baffles me that Nikki Haley chose not to participate," Trump's advisor Chris LaSilvia commented. So they had four choices, actually, and none of these candidates was number one. And they got 60% of the votes, I guess you could say, and Haley got 37%. Go ahead, Melody.
Oh, you want me to take us out? Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What's next, Butch?
Trump scores endorsement from International Union of Police Associations. This little bit of political news. International Union of Police Associations endorsed former President Donald Trump in the White House bid on Tuesday, as polling shows crime is a top issue to the American electorate. In a press release, IUPA President Sam Cabral announced that the organization's executive board of directors unanimously endorsed Trump. President Trump's history of support for the men and women of law enforcement is unmatched. His policies and actions are directed at improving safety in our communities and the men and women who provide that shield, the release stated, adding that the 45th president earned and deserves the IUPA's wholehearted support. Okay. And one more thing about Trump. Trump forewarns of imminent terrorist threat in candid interview. I don't disagree with that. I don't like it, but I don't disagree with it. But this is what he said. Trump did not once mince words as he criticized President Joe Biden, whom he referred to as a Manchurian candidate, suggests that Biden is not the one making critical decisions within the administration, and I agree with that. This bold claim by Trump underscores a narrative of concern regarding who is at the helm of the nation's affairs. Former President confidently said, and I believe we're going to have a terrorist attack 100%, 100%. He contrasts this with his tenure in the Oval Office, proudly noting that during his term, the country did not suffer any terrorist attacks. Trump attributed this to the various bans he had implemented on individuals from certain countries, emphasizing his proactive approach to national security. Again, I agree with that. I mean, he did ban some people from the country, from certain countries. He did do that. I'll give him credit for that. I'm not a Trump fan, but he did do that. Any comments, Melody?
No, sir.
This article from Mark Van Versendel. When you see this chart, it shows a chart. Does that look okay to you or more like a big red flag? The Fed's first ever $120 billion negative remittance to the U.S. Treasury. It seems as if the Federal Reserve balance sheet is in trouble. This means Fed's income, mostly from U.S. government securities, is dwarfed by its expenses, including interest on bank services. A bloated balance sheet is turning from a financial asset into a liability. Bad news for effective monetary policy. Moreover, this negative remittance means the U.S. Treasury is getting less money, widening the federal budget deficit even more. This will likely do even more government borrowing at higher rates and or potential tax hikes. Lastly, this situation will not help investors' confidence. In my opinion, a huge spotlight on the unsustainability of the Fed's strategies and the overall strength of U.S. financial position and so off the global financial system. In essence, the Fed's negative remittance is more than a financial hiccup. Please keep in mind, we aren't even in a real recession yet. To me, it looks like a warning signal for the economy and the stability of the financial system. We should all study money and its history now. So the Fed, for the first time, had a negative remittance to the U.S. Treasury. What think about that, Melody?
Just another little sign.
It is.
But Butch.
Yes. Yes.
It's manageable.
Oh, of course it is. 2024, we'll fix it.
It's manageable until it isn't.
I mean, you know, that for the first time in history that's happened, I'd say that's pretty serious.
Yeah. You'd think.
That is pretty serious. Never before in history. The next article is from Michael Snyder. Again, I do like his articles. This is a partial part of the article. Delinquency rates are spiking. Has a final meltdown of the U.S. consumer now begun? According to New York Fed, total household debt in the United States increased by $212 billion during the fourth quarter of 2023. Let me run it by again. The fourth quarter of last year, U.S. household debt grew by $212 billion. It is now sitting at a grand total of $17.5 trillion. I suppose the good news is that we are $34 trillion in debt like the federal government, but $17.5 trillion is still really bad, and it is far more than U.S. households can handle. Unsurprisingly, delinquency rates have started to spike, and I fully expect this trend to intensify in the months ahead. Let's start by taking a look at credit card debt. During the fourth quarter, it hit a brand new all-time record at $1.13 trillion. Americans are increasingly turning to their credit cards to cover everyday expenses, with debt hitting a new record high at the end of December, according to a new New York Federal Reserve report published Tuesday. The average rate of interest on credit card balances is now listen to this, Melody, the average rate of credit card balances is above 20%. Gee. And so it has been very foolish of us to run up so much credit card debt. And now means Americans are falling behind on their payments. In fact, it's being reported that credit card delinquencies surged by more than 50% in 2023. Credit card delinquencies have surged more than 50% in 2023 as total consumer debt swelled to $17.5 trillion. Debt that has transitioned to a serious delinquency or 90 days or more past due increased across multiple categories during the year, but none more than the credit cards. As delinquency rates rise, lenders will be forced to become more stingy. That means that U.S. consumers will have less money to throw around. The New York Fed is also telling us that delinquency rates on auto loans are surging too. In the case of auto loans, delinquency rates are now above pre-pandemic levels, and the worsening appears to be broad-based, New York Fed researchers wrote. It's exactly what we would expect to see if the U.S. economy is plunging into recession. One of the reasons why Americans have been relying on their credit cards so much, because virtually everyone had become so much more, everything had become so much more expensive. At this point, even a trip to McDonald's had become financially painful. The CEO of McDonald's admitted Monday that the sales for the fast food giant have increased menu prices that have not gone unnoticed by customers. The Chicago-based chain has taken heavy criticism over its Big Mac combo that is priced at nearly $18, among other menu hikes, and has promised to focus on affordability, the New York Post reported. In 1996, you get a Big Mac for just 99 cents. Things sure have changed since then. I never imagined that we would be reminiscing about the good old days of the 1990s, but here we are. I also miss the days when it seemed like there was a bank branch on just about every corner. Once upon a time, it's so easy to set up a bank account that even a kid could do it. But now banks all over the nation have gotten into big financial trouble, and they are shutting down branches at a staggering rate. Bank of America has emerged as a front-runner in the ongoing elimination of costly brick-and-mortar banking locations in the U.S. It said it would shut almost 160 last year, and having already announced 30 in the first quarter month of 2024, there are no signs the trend will show. A total of 139 scheduled bank branches closures were made public in January, more than the month average across 2023. The Federal Reserve is doing all it can to try to prop up the system, but I still expect another wave of banks failures in 2024. So already in January 2024, 139 banks scheduled to close, bank branches scheduled to close. Melanie, that's huge.
It is a lot. And, you know, and it's a sign. I mean, but people just, again, how many times do we have to say it? Probably too many times we've said it before. And, we've been talking about bank branches closing for several years now. In one day, the bank building is there. The next day, there's an ATM. It's all automation. You use your phone to call in. It's the way business is being conducted. And all of these people are getting laid off. These people need to find new jobs.
I agree. I totally agree. It's sad, but it is what it is. We got about 5 minutes. I want to share this very quickly. And folks, please listen to this. This can morph into something really big. There are even dates being set now that they expect World War III will start by. And they're expecting to start no later than May 5th. I'm not making this up. I'm just sharing, okay? Medvedev warns Russia has no choice but to unleash nuclear apocalypse if attacked by NATO. Not for the first time, former President Dmitry Medvedev has warned that a direct war between Moscow forces and NATO would lead to a nuclear apocalypse. The current Deputy Chairman of Russia's Security Council issued the warning on Telegram Wednesday in response to recent statements and reports that some European leaders are telling their populations to prepare for war. For example, just last month, the UK Army Chief General Patrick Sanders called on authorities to mobilize a nation to prepare for war with Putin, and that the population needs a shift in thinking to be ready. Medvedev mocked this and other examples of NATO leaders accusing Moscow of seeking a broader war as dangerous drivel. He said that this is all about trying to bolster support for sending more weapons to Kyiv amid what's becoming war fatigue among Western publics. According to Russian media translation of his words, Medvedev said this is part of an effort to prop up Ukraine, a dying country that is foreign to taxpayers, while ignoring problems at home. Therefore, every day the leaders of these countries broadcast, we need to prepare for war with Russia and can you continue to help Ukraine. That's when he said that people in the West have to be told the blunt truth. Medvedev underscored that the Russian response to attack by NATO would without doubt be asymmetrical. He explained, since our military capabilities are incomparable, we will simply have no choice. The response will be asymmetrical to protect
yes.
the territory.
Say yeah, it again, Butch.
say it right. Anyway, he's going to make it even. To protect the territory of our country, ballistic and cruise missiles with spatial warheads will be used. This will be a proverbial apocalypse, the end of everything. So he says we can't take on the force of UK on the ground. We don't have that capability. But we will nuke them. I didn't say this. Medvedev said this. I don't care if you like it or not. I can't change that. And now we have a Israeli minister who renews call for striking Gaza with nuclear bomb. There's nothing left in Gaza. Melody, why do you go to bomb?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a wasteland now.
He's just nuts.
Israel's far-right heritage minister, Amichai Lehiu, today renewed his call for striking the Gaza Strip with a nuclear bomb. Even in The Hague, they know my position. The Times of Israel newspaper quoted Eliyahu as saying during a tour of the occupied West Bank city of Hebron, in reference to his previous call for using nuclear weapons in Gaza Strip. In November, Eliyahu said dropping a nuclear bomb on the Gaza Strip is an option. The hardline minister also called for encouraging Gaza's population to leave the enclave. Man, for some reason, it seems like some of these people are aching for war. And if a nuke is dropped anywhere, as a matter of fact, Poland has already said if somebody hits the nuclear power plant in Ukraine and it leaks radiation over into Poland,
yeah,
that would be considered an attack. That's where we are, Melody. It's getting really scary and getting close.
I mean, it is. And again, there's no turning back.
No,
I don't see anything. I don't see anyone trying. I mean, if they had been trying to make some sort of a treaty, peace treaty, or you know, but nothing. All we had for 2 years now is Zelensky running around begging for money and weaponry and planes. There's never any sit. And if there were sit down discussions, it was all a waste of time. And so they don't want that to end. And when you think about how corrupt Ukraine was and probably still is, and Russia doesn't want all of Ukraine, they just want parts of it.
They had parts of it. What's the Ukraine crying about?
And I get it to the point. I mean, if you were a good sovereign nation, you didn't. You know, I get that part. I get what they might be fighting for. But it's not our place to be there. That's the point.
That is a point. Same thing in the Middle East.
Because if we're not there, it wouldn't go nuclear.
I agree. And if NATO
gets
involved,
you'd have those
like
two fight out. Ukraine would probably give up what they want, what Russia wanted, and so forth, and it'd be done with. The whole point is we shouldn't be there. It's none of our business.
We're spreading ourselves mighty thin all over the world, and we do not have the military to handle that. We don't. We truly, sincerely don't. And if we would happen to go into Iran, folks, we're not even ready for that. Believe me, biblically speaking, I'm telling you, we're not ready for that. It's not going to be good. Melody,
no.
We're about out of time. I'll let you get it as wrap it up.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Yes, we are.
And the thing of it is, you know, it's one thing, when we did the bomb, nobody else had one. They couldn't retaliate to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different story today. And of course, that's what probably keeps anyone from using them, because they know if Russia uses it, they know they're going to get one in their backyard. We'll get one in our backyard. And everyone will get one. So I do think there's minds out there that do not want that to happen. But you get these crazies and you get, you just don't know. Anyway, join us tomorrow. We'll be here. So until then, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And until tomorrow, good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me